Northampton Colel, share given on Sunday, 2nd of October 2011, Dalet Tishri Toshin Ayin Beis. Today's Tum Gedalia Nidche. Yesterday was Shabbos, 3rd of Tishri, which would have been Tum Gedalia, but of course being Shabbos, so we're fasting today. And I'd like to say the share, Le'ilu Nishmas, two different people. One is Debbie's, my wife's, maternal grandfather, Reb Eliezer ben Reb Avram Zichron Levracha, he Reb Lazar Lanskrom, very sweet gentleman whom I remember from our early years of marriage. So his yahrzeit was yesterday on Gimel Tishri. And I'd also like to say Leilu Nishmas, the son of a young friend of mine who's nifta very young, Habacher Chaim Omos ben Reb Shmuel. Yeah, Nebuch. A good friend of mine, Gabby Weiss, I was in school with him. He now lives in Eretz Yisrael. He had a son who was nifta in his early 20s due to cancer. And he came here once, he brought him here once, and he davened here with his son once on a Shabbos morning when his son was in remission. But anyway, Gabby's gone on. He's in Pesach Tikva, he's now built a shul in memory of his son. I mean, Kol HaKavod, he's built a shul. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. I've seen the photos. It's unbelievably exquisite, modern building. Oh, Louis, the architect, he'd love it. He built the shul in memory of his son. He called the shul Nigunei Chaim. His son was very musical. And they called it Nigunei Chaim. His name is Chaim Omos. So his yacht was also yesterday, Gimel Tishri. So I think it's 7 years now. So, okay, we are up to Tehillim chapter Yudches, and we're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yeah, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayirkav al Karuv Vayo'uf, and he rode on. He rode on a cherub, Vayo'uf, and he. Once again, Tehillim Yudches, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayikav al Kuruv, and he rode on a cherub, Vayo'uf, and he flew, Vayeder, and he soared, al Kanfei Ruach, on wings of wind. Now we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's at the bottom left. Yeah, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who flew to attack Mitzrayim. That's the general gist of the pasuk is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu fighting Mitzrayim, particularly at Kriyas Yam Suf, and throughout the rest of the Makkos as well. But he flew in order to get to Mitzrayim quickly. It really is, you can see it continues. Vayirkav, he rode. He rode. He rode. Not as in rowing a boat, but he rode. Yeah, yeah, to ride, that's right. Yeah, he rode, R-O-D-E. He rode on a cherub for speed. Now, it really, if you look back to Pasuk Yud, you see how it follows on easily from Pasuk Yud. Vayet Shamayim Vayet Rad. He bent down the heavens and he descended, again, Hashem coming down to earth in a hurry, in order to attack Mitzrayim. So here we have Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayirkav al Karuv, he rode on a cherub, Vayo'uf, and he flew, Vayeder al Kanfei Ruach, and he soared, that's to soar like a bird, or it can also mean, I think, to swoop down like a bird, al Kanfei Ruach, on wings of wind. And that's those expressions of speed. He sort of shot down to earth in a massive hurry in order to save Yisrael, in order and also to attack Mitzrayim. So let's first think about this word Vayeder, which is a very complicated word. Vayeder al Kanfei Ruach, he swooped or he soared on wings of wind. So most Rishonim quote a pasuk from Parshas Kisavo, where the pasuk says, it's in Devarim chapter Kaf Ches, Pasuk Memtes, where the Pasuk is in the Tochacha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to send a nation to attack Klal Yisrael, and the nation that will attack Klal Yisrael, let's find this Memtes, here we are, Yis Hashem Alecha Goy Meirachok, Hashem will send a nation from a distance upon you, Mikatei Oretz on the other ends of the earth, and they will come at such speed, Ka'asheh Yid Eh Hanosheh, like the eagle soars, or like the eagle swoops down. It's an expression of speed, that the enemy will come from a long way away, but they'll absolutely come at tremendous speed and catch us unawares, and they'll attack us. So the Mefarshim on our posuk quote that posuk to explain the word Vayeder. Vayeder, he saw, and it's an expression of Ka'ash, like that posuk in Devarim.
That posuk in Devarim referred to the Germans in Mashmal.
I've heard that as well, because their eagle was their emblem.
The emblem was an eagle.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, yeah. But
the Fred Gid Hanosher.
Not Gid Hanosher, no, it's a different word. This is Hanosher. Oh, good morning, Johnny. This is Hanosher with a resh at the end. Gid Hanosher has a hay at the end. And it's a Nesher. Nesher is an eagle. Yeah. I'll come for Nesharim in Yisra. So
the Roman was the eagle.
The Roman was also the eagle. Yeah. We're on chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph. So Kashi Yideh Hanosher. So Hanosher. It's just an expression of speed. It's to explain this word Vayedeh Al Kanfei Ruach. He soared or he swooped down. I know it's a bit strange because soaring is to do with going up and swooping is to do with going down. The expressions of flying at tremendous speed, and we just quote this other pasuk in Devarim chapter Kaf Ches Pasuk Mem. Test, Kashi Yid Eh Hanosheh, because that word Yid Eh has the same root. It means to swoop down. And I did a bit of research just to get an idea of just how fast are we talking. And eagles, of course, will fly at various different speeds depending on conditions and depending on what they're doing and also depending on the different species of eagle. But the fastest speed I could find that's an eagle is 100 miles an hour. 100 miles an hour. I don't remember which species.
That's I don't
remember.
100
miles an hour. Yeah. So that really throws light on this pasuk in the Tochacha. Hashem will send a nation against us from a long distance, and they'll come at such tremendous speed, 100 miles an hour. Okay, good. Now let's take a look at the Targum on our pasuk. First look at the Targum is the Iskalei Bigavurte. Translates it as Hashem will reveal himself in his strength. Al Keruvin on cherubs, Kalilin on light cherubs, light, i.e., lightweight, and they can fly quickly. Udavar Bisakof al Gadve Za'avo, and he will come with force on the wings of wind. But the interesting phrase here, two interesting phrases, well, just with one at the moment, is V'iskele Bigavurte. He will reveal himself in his strength. Now that's how the Targum translates Vayirkav. Actually, Targum's adding that in, because Vayirkav al Kurut, he'll fly on a cherub, is translated by the Targum al Kuruvin. He's coming on cherubs. So the first expression in the Targum, V'iskele Bigavurte, is really a definition of the whole pasuk. He's revealing himself in all his strength, and that's really what the pasuk's about. Hashem coming to attack Mitzrayim, coming, revealing himself in tremendous strength. The Targum has added that in. That's not mefurish in the pasuk. The Targum has added that in order to explain the pasuk. Oh, so let's define a kruv. What exactly is a kruv? Vayir kaval kruv. Hashem rides on a cherub. What is this word kruv? The Mitzudas Tzion quotes the Gemara in Chagiga, and the Gemara is in Chagiga Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and this isn't it. The Gemara in Chagiga Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and I've got the quote here. My Kuruv, what is meant by Kuruv? Omer Rabbi Avohu Keravya. The word Kuruv is based on the word Keravya. Now, Ravya is an Aramaic word meaning a young person. Ravya is a young person. Ker Ravya, like a young person. So the word Keruv comes from Ker Ravya, like a young person. We're talking about an angel, a Keruv, an angel with a young face. And in English as well, a cherub is often used to describe a young child.
It does come from the Aramaic, because the Hebrew came first.
It can certainly come from the Aramaic, because they... Well, okay, it's not coming from the Aramaic. He's explaining it with an Aramaic word. Okay, you can say Hebrew came first. They're both Semitic languages. There are so many similarities between Lashon HaKodesh and Aramaic. But the he's just explaining the word Keruv. If you like, he's saying we are familiar with the Aramaic word Ker, like Rav Yah, a young person, and that explains the Hebrew word Keruv. Yeah.
Keruv is like a cherub. Like a young child.
Absolutely. Yeah. A young child's face in particular. Yeah,
face.
Absolutely. The angel has a young child's face. It's hard to speak about malachim, we haven't got a clue what they look like, but that is the definition of this word keruv, a young child's face. And that's the Goron Chagiga Yud Gimel Lamed Beis. Good? Okay. The Metzudas David explains, as we've understood already, that by Yirkav al Keruv, Hashem is riding on this cherub. Why? To come at great speed. Why is he coming? He's coming, well, either to save David from his personal problems, or personal enemies, or to save Klal Yisrael from their national enemies, and we understand it particularly in the light of coming to fight Mitzrayim at the time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And of course, Kanfei Ruach, the end of the Pasuk, Vayedeh al Kanfei Ruach, he swooped on the wings of wind. Is explaining that the Metzudas David goes on to explain that it's a poetical form here, that we are describing the wind like the wings of a bird, or rather like the flapping of a bird's wings. It's to describe, we simply describe the wind in terms of like a bird flapping its wings. Kanfei Ruach, because the wind has no wings. So how do you get those two words together? Kanfei Ruach, wings of wind. The wind doesn't have wings. It's simply a moshel to a bird flying. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Good. Ibn Ezra says the same. Many Mefarshim say it's Hashem coming to earth, coming down to earth to attack the enemies at speed. Now the Radak. Oh, we have to refer to the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Take a look at the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. You've got a bookmark there. The parallel pasuk here, Johnny, you should use this one. There's a bookmark there. Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and it's pasuk Yud Aleph again, and we'll be constantly referring to it. The pasuk is almost identical. Vayirkav al Keruv again. He rode on a cherub. So it's pasuk Yud Aleph, yeah. Vayirkav al Keruv. He rode on a cherub. Vayoth and he flew. Exactly the same as we've got in Tehillim. And then we have the word Vayera al Kanfei Ruach. He appeared on wings of wind. Now our apostle's got the word Vayede Vov Yud Dalet Aleph. In Shmuel Beis it's got Vayera, he appeared, Vov Yud Resh Aleph. There's one letter difference, a Resh in Shmuel Beis, a Dalet in Tehillim, and that gives you a different word. Our word is Vayede, he swooped on wings of wind, and Ishmael based by Yeiro Al-Kanfer, he appeared on wings of wind. So the Radak is at pains to point out, we'll go into this difference in detail, but the Radak points out that although it looks like a very simple difference, Vayede, the root is Dalet Aleph Hei, which means to swoop, and Vayero, the root is Reish Aleph Hei, there is one other difference, grammatical difference, that is Vayede is in the pattern of words, the conjugation known as the Kal, while Vayera, which is an active form, Vayede, he swooped, it's an active form, while Vayera is a nifal, which is a passive binyan, it's a passive conjugation, he was seen, or in English, he appeared, al kanfei ruach. But many Mefarshim and the Medroshim all say that the gist of these two words is actually the same. Whether you say that Hashem swooped down to earth in order to attack Mitzrayim, or whether you say he appeared, it comes to much the same meaning. He came, he appeared, he swooped in order to attack Mitzrayim. It comes to much the same sort of thing. But the Radak points out there's not just a change of root, there's also a change of binyan. Vayede in the kal, vayera in the nifal. Okay, we'll come back to the differences between these two psukim, which are very exciting differences. The Yalkut Miam Leves on our pasuk points out, going back to the psukim in Tehillim, that if you go back to Pasuk Ches, Vatigash Vatirasha Oretz, the earth shook and quaked, that's an earthquake. Hashem sends earthquakes in order to save Klal Yisrael from their enemies. Go on to Pasuk Tes. Allah Oshan Ba'apo Ve'ishne Pirtuchel Gecholim Ba'arim Imenu, the burning coals burning from him. That's a volcano. Hashem sends volcanoes to help Klal Yisrael. And now in Pasuk Yud Aleph, we have Vayikav Al Kruv Vayoth Vayeda Al Kanfei Ruach. Kanfei Ruach is a hurricane. Hashem sends hurricanes to save Klal Yisrael. So it has these three natural disasters from Pasuk Ches, an earthquake, Pasuk Tes, a volcano, and here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, we have hurricanes.
Who says
it's a hurricane? Yalkut Memois says the reference to hurricanes. Vayeda Al Kanfei Ruach. Kanfei Ruach, wind, strong wind.
But in Tanakh, has there ever been a hurricane in Israel? In Eretz Israel?
In Tanakh? Not a clue. Not a clue. Couldn't tell you. Hang on, I'll just quickly zip through Tanakh. I'll let you know in a minute. Come here, Bereshit's probably killed. The Yalkut Miamnes is written by the same Mechaber who wrote the Mishnah Lemelech on the Rambam. He wrote it in Ladino originally, and it's been translated recently, within the last 30 years, into Hebrew. And it's a collection of Medroshim, and most of what he says is quoting from other Medroshim, other sources. It does give the sources. I can't remember which source comes from. But these are the natural disasters. We've spoken before about the earthquakes and the volcanoes, and here we have a hurricane.
Well, if it's a hurricane or a storm wind, I mean, the term hurricane is a modern term.
Yeah.
Storm winds, sandstorms you certainly get in the desert. You get winds, high winds, and things. So you get these sort of things.
Yeah, okay. Good. Okay. Medrash Shechetov gives a moshel here. Oh yes. What's this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu riding on a kruv, riding on a cherub? It's very hard to understand. Here's a moshel. It'll still be hard to understand, but the moshel might help a little bit. Moshel of a king whose son was kidnapped. And he and his servants start harnessing the king's chariot. The king's going to go chasing after the kidnappers to get his son back. And the servants get the chariot ready, and the chariot needs numerous horses to pull it. And they're busy harnessing all these horses. And the king says, it's ridiculous. By the time we've harnessed the horses and we get going, it'll be too late. So the kidnappers will have disobeyed my son. And he just jumps on his horse and off he goes. And that's the idea. Hashem, in a hurry, by Yirkab al-Kruv, he rides on a cherub. Speed. He's going to get to attack Mitzrayim and to save Klal Yisrael. Speed is of the essence, and so he gets on his cherub and he's off and away. Like the king. Pardon?
How's that
going to
be fast?
I have no idea. Why would a cherub be faster than.
The child, isn't it?
He's got the child's face, which we'll come back to still. Excuse me. Okay, I cannot answer that because I really don't know. Why does Hashem need anything? Why does Hashem need a kruv?
I always have the analogies, like or in the davening, about lions and different animals. It's always alluded to, but it's always the one which is strong or fast or like the eagle.
Maybe take this as a moshel. It's just a poetic form of saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu came at speed. But why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a kruv? Why does he need any malachim? Why does he need anything? Let's take a look at a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amad Aleph. The Gemara speaks about Omer Rabbi Yehuda bar Idi. Let me get this right. Omer Rabbi Yehuda bar Idi. Omer Rabbi Yehuda bar Idi. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Eser masaos nosa oshechina mikroi. When the first base of Mikdash was destroyed, the Shekhinah departed from the Beis HaMikdash, but it didn't go in one, it didn't disappear in one fell swoop. It left very gradually. The Shekhinah left gradually, bit by bit. In all, there were 10 movements of the Shekhinah in departing from the Beis HaMikdash.
That's
one. Oh, so and then the Gemara goes on to say, Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin also was exiled bit by bit in 10 moves. Okay, so like the Shekhinah departed in 10 steps, so too the Sanhedrin departed in 10 steps, and the Gemara goes through both of them. Let's go through a couple of the Shekhinah's journeys. We learn them all from Sukkim. The 10 journeys travelled by the Shekhinah learnt out from Sukkim. The first journey is Mikapores Likruv. From the Kapores, which is the lid of the Oron, right? The lid of the Oron where the two Kruvim were, the two images of the angels were on top of the, on the lid of the Oron. So the first journey, the Shekhinah rested on the Kapores. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe in the Midbar, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came from the Kapores, from the lid of the Oren. So that was the location of the Shekhinah, and the first journey is from the Kapores to a Kruv. Now, the Kruv we're talking about is not the Kruv on, is not one of the two Kruvim on the lid of the Kapores. We're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, and Shlomo HaMelech made two additional Keruvim, which were located in the Kodesh HaKodoshim on either side of the Oren. I don't know where they were exactly, were they standing on the floor? Images of Malachim, images of Keruvim, of Malachim with wings, with child's faces. Besides the one on the Oren's lid. No, no models. I think they are models. Yeah, at the side. Yeah, the tightness would have been from west to east, because the poles of the Oron stuck out, went along the entire, what would you call it, the west to east flank of the Kodesh HaKodashim. But north and south ends, there was space. And I think that these are models of Keruvim. These are made models of Shlomo HaMelech in the first place when he made models of Keruvim. And this is the first journey of the Shekhinah. From the Kapores, the lid of the Oren, onto one of the two Keruvim. Okay?
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Kruvim besides the two on the
Kapores. Besides the two on the Kapores, these are extra Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made for the first Beis HaMikdash. Yes. And they were located in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the first journey of the Shekhinah. It went Mikapores Likruv. Then the Gemara goes on to say, journey number two, Umikruv Likruv. And the second journey of the Shekhinah was from one Kruv to the other Kruv. Okay? And all of these are learned from Sukkim. And then the third... No, I don't know the time span. I don't know how long it took. I don't know how long each one took. Yeah, that, I don't know. And the third journey of the Shekhinah was Umikruv Lemifton, from that second Kruv to the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash. And then other journeys followed. The Gemara learns them all out from Sukkim, and this second journey, Mikruv Likruv, is learnt from our Pasuk. Our Pasuk says, Vayirkav al Kruv. He went to fly on a Kruv. That means the Shekhinah flew onto a Kruv. And by then we're talking about moving from Kruv number one to Kruv number two. So it's gone from the Kapores, from the lid of the Oren, to Kruv number one, and then from Kruv number one to Kruv number two. And that journey from Kruv number one to Kruv two is learned from our Pasuk, Vayirkav al Kruv Vayo'ov. He rode onto a Kruv, and that's flying onto Kruv number two. That is the Gemara. However, the text of the Gemara is hotly challenged by various Gersos and Gemara who disapprove of this whole text. Rashi, for start, says it's the wrong girsa. And Rashi says, you know why? Because this pasuk, "Vayir kaval kruva yaruf," is nothing at all to do with Hashem coming to the Hashem Shechina moving away from the Beis Mikdash. What is the pasuk talking about? It's about Hashem attacking Mitzrayim. Yeah. So Rashi discounts his whole girsa. So although our text in the Gemara has it, Rashi discounts it, and I believe so does Dagar Sabach also discounts it. But anyway, that's the that is in the Gemara. The very beautiful lashon is brought in Rashi there as to why is the Shechina taking these 10 steps. So Rashi explains. The later journey from the town to the mountain, a later one of the 10 journeys, says Rashi, the chol silukim halalu, all these departures, why did they happen? Why do you have these 10 departures of the Shechina? Lefi, because shebekoshi hayom istalek, because the Shechina left with difficulty. It was being wrenched away.
That must be because the cherubim were either side of the Oren. One is on the south and one is on the north. Must be in first of all with Gevurah, and then from Gevurah to Rachamim. So it must be from right to left.
I was wondering which cherub came first, and I just assumed that the right cherub is considered more choshev, and therefore the Shechina went from the Kapuas to the right kruv, and then from the right kruv to the left kruv, but I didn't see it anywhere.
I would have thought the other way around. I would have thought the anger of the Lord was so, Hashem was so great, it was on the Gevurah, and then the Rachamim came in, and then he left. But the first of all is the anger, and that is Gevurah.
Yeah.
But then the conversation is from Rachamim.
So the Shekhinah would have left from the Rachamim then?
Yes.
First, and then
you said just now
right and
left. How do you distinguish
right and left? You're facing west. From the entrance to the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
As you enter it.
It's west.
The entrance to the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Which is at the eastern end of the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
So it's from the west to the east.
You're facing west,
i.e. you're facing, what do you call forwards?
Right,
in the Kodesh
HaKadoshim.
As you're facing the Oren, you're actually facing west, and right and left, two kruvim right and left. This Rashi is a beautiful Rashi, especially for this time of year. Rashi says, why did these journeys take so long for the Shechina? Why did it depart so slowly? V'chol silukim halalu, all these departures, why? Lefi, because shebekoshi hayom istalek, the Shechina departed with difficulty, the Shechina was like being wrenched away, reluctantly, and Hashem was hoping that Klal Yisrael would still do teshuva. So it was a gradual departure of the Shechina, each step from the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem hoping at each stage that the Klal Yisrael would do teshuva, and then everything would be restored. Yeah. But at any rate, what is important to realize is that Rashi discounts this whole girsa of the Gemara about it flying from one kruv to the other, learning from our pasuk. No, says Rashi, it can't be learned from our pasuk. Our pasuk is all about Hashem coming to attack Mitzrayim, not about the Shechina departing from the Beis HaMikdash. Right, the Sephorno on our pasuk, thanks to the computer download, thanks to David Dombrowski, the Sephorno on our pasuk says that about Hashem coming down at speed to attack Mitzrayim. He says, you know why? Because Mitzrayim, the Bechorim, were hit in one moment. They all died in one moment. They all died in one moment, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to get there sort of at the right second to hit all the Mitzrayim at the right, you know, all simultaneously, and therefore he had to come in a hurry, and therefore we have this expression Vayikav Al Kruv Bachatzis Alayla. Yeah, Bachatzis Vayi Bachatzis Alayla. That's right. And also to save all the Bechorim, all the Jewish Bechorim had to be saved simultaneously as well. So he had to be there at the right place at the right time, and therefore he came in a hurry. Good. Okay. the Rashbam on our Pasuk learns a very simple pshat. The Rashbam says a Kuruv is a cloud. Very no esoteric learning of angels. No, it's a cloud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu riding on a cloud. Okay, now let's come on to a piece of Rambam. Now I can't remember. I think the art scroll on Tehillim quoted this Rambam, and I looked it up. A lot of difficulty finding it, but I found it. I found it thanks to HebrewBooks.org, tremendous website with lots of Sforim on it. It's the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim. Yeah, the Rambam's philosophical sefer Meir Nevuchim, and it's in Chelek Gimel Perek Mem Hei, and he writes there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know about Keruvim, about angels. Hence we have, and he quotes our Pasuk, Vayir Kaval Keruv, he rode on a Keruv, he rode on an angel. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu interested, wants us to know about angels? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu went, Moshe Rabbeinu's very first Nevuah in Shemos Perek Gimel, it was at the snare, at the burning bush. That happened thanks to a malach. The pasuk says there, it's in Shmos Perek Gimel, pasuk base, Vayero malach Hashem Elov. An angel of God appeared to him. Balabasation, and some kind of fire, mitoch hasnare, in the bush. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, we've got to believe in Moshe. And we've got to believe in Moshe being the primary Novi. Well, his very first nevuah came about through a malach. Vayero malach Hashem Elov. That malach appeared to him. Therefore, to help us on our way in believing in malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes mentions of malachim. And we have malachim in Tanakh, Vayikav al Kruv. Likewise, says the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu insisted that depictions of Keruvim are in the Mishkan. Well, of course, the famous ones are the two Keruvim on top of the Oren. Yeah, but we also have, and this is what the Rambam mentions, we also have Keruvim on the curtain hanging, on the Paroches that hung outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here's my picture sefer. With it, the Pasuk says, it's in Shmos chapter Kavav, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, you make the paroches outside, hanging outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, made out all these combinations of wools, Ma'aseh Choshev, which I think means woven, Ya'aseh Osa Keruvim, you shall make it Keruvim. Now Rashi explains that on one side, as you can see here, on one side you've got depictions of eagles, and on the other side you've got depictions of lions. Yeah, quite amazing. What's this one? This is a... Yeah, those are the... Oh, sorry, the other way around. Here you've got your eagle, and here you've got your lion, right? Lions and eagles. With wings. Keruvim. They're mentioned with wings. Now, it's discussed in the Rishonim, what exactly did they look like? Were they eagles, one side eagle, one side lion? That's how Rashi puts it. Others say they had depictions of malachim, keruvim. Either way, others say, no, they were lions and eagles, but with faces of children. Hence, Keruvia, like a young child. So, although the depiction was of a lion, the face was the face of a young child. The depiction was that of an eagle, the face was that of a young child. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Paroches to show depictions of Keruvim in order to drill into us the existence of these Malachim, of these Keruvim, so that we find Moshe's so we have a better emunah in Moshe as our Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe as our Rebbe, because his first nevuah came about through this malach. Just by the way, a bit of a problem with this.
What's the relation Moshe and the Keruvim?
Oh, because the Keruv is a type of malach,
right, yeah.
And the nevuah, the first nevuah of Moshe, Vayerom malach Hashem Elov. Yeah, at the burning bush, it was a malach that appeared to him. So the Rambam says, Hashem wants us to believe in Moshe, and in Moshe's nevuah, and the first nevuah came about through a malach. Hashem wants us to believe in malachim, so he put depictions of malachim in the Mishkan.
Yeah?
On the curtain there, yeah. Interestingly enough, something which is a bit puzzling, and I didn't quite get to the bottom of this, although the Mefarshim did discuss it, this psukim there, beginning of chapter Gimel in Shmos, say, Vayero malach Hashem Elov, a malach Hashem appeared to him, And then Moshe turns to have a look at this amazing sight of this burning bush that's burning but not actually burning up. It's not disintegrating. And then the pastor says, "Vayah Hashem ki soli rose." Hashem saw that he turned to one side to take a look. "Vaykra elav Elokim mitoch hasneh," and Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called to him from within the snare. So it's interesting. First of all, you've got a change there. "Vayah Hashem." Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem saw that he turned to one side to have a look. And then it says that "Vaykra elav Elokim." Elokim called to him. Why does it change from Yud Kei Vav Kei to Elokim? I don't know. But what's happened to the Malach? The Malach has appeared to Moshe. What else, what news is there of this Malach? And the answer is nothing. We don't hear of this Malach anymore. Yeah, the Malach appeared and then that's the last we hear of him. So the Ibn Ezra says on that pasuk, and it is discussed by the Rishonim, and I really only learnt the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra... introduces... Yeah, Ibn Ezra says, "Vayikra elav Elokim" is the Malach talking, and the Malach is called Elokim, being a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns it. Okay, so there we are. That's the Rambam, important piece of Rambam. Oh, listen to this. Rabbi Avram ben Ramach, his Pirush on Tehillim, Rabbi Avram ben Ramach. He has a completely different shot on the pasuk. He says, who is this kruv in our pasuk? Vayirkav al kruv. He rode on a kruv via oath and he flew. Who's the kruv and who's flying? Says Rabbi Avram ben Ramach, we're talking about enemies of Klal Yisrael coming to attack us. Every nation has an angel to represent it. Every nation has a malach in Shamayim who is the sar, who is the angel of that nation. When we're attacked, when we are attacked by our enemies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to war against the malach of that nation. Vayir kaval kruv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rides on the kruv. What does this word rides mean? So he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Nunches, pasuk Yudalad. Listen to this chapter, listen to this pasuk. Yeshaya Nunches Yudalad. The pasuk is talking about someone who keeps Shabbos properly. Someone who keeps Shabbos properly, Oz tis amagal Hashem, then you will rejoice with God. Vehir kavticho al bomose oretz. Hashem says, I'll make you ride over high places of the land. What does that mean, I'll make you ride over high places? It means you'll have control over the land. Hashem says, if you keep Shabbos properly, I'll make sure you have full control over Eretz Yisrael. And it goes on to say, V'ha'achalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha, I'll give you to eat of the inheritance of Yaakov, your father, i.e. you'll have full rights over Eretz Yisrael. Something to tell the politicians in Eretz Yisrael. The others are now to hang on to Eretz Yisrael, have to keep control of the land, keep Shabbos. You keep Shabbos, Hashem says, you'll have full control. Now, when you ride on something, you control it. So that's why the prophet says, "Vehir kavticha al bamaseiros." Hashem says, "I'll make you ride over the high places of the land." In other words, you'll have full control over Eretz Yisrael. Says Rabbi Avram ben Ramach, the word to ride, resh chof veis, means to have control. Coming back to our pasuk, says Rabbi Avram ben Ramach, when we are attacked by our enemies, Hashem goes to war against the malach of that nation. Vayirkav, Hashem has control al kruv over the enemy malach. And what happens? Vayoth, the enemy malach flies away. That's how he learnt it. That whole new pshat. Yeah, the enemy malach flies away, and that in effect takes away the power of that nation, and then that nation crumbles. Yeah, that's how Rabbi Avram ben Ramach learns it. It's a beautiful pshat. Yes, of course. Oh, Yaakov Abomaseret. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, shkech. Oh, foki. That was even. Yeah. Halavai Dami. Yeah. Now let's come on to the Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah here. Medrash Rabbah in Shir Hashirim, on Shir Hashirim, Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. here. Oh, some difficult pieces of Medrash here. Omer Rav Chanina bar Papa. Oh yes. Bosav Adam, when a human being, Shehu Rochev al Toano, a human being who rides on an object. Whatever you're going to ride on. I mean, like riding on a horse, and you've got a saddle on the horse. Right? So, Rochev al Toano, the object that you're riding on holds the rider. The saddle holds the rider. And what is that saddle? Al Dava Shish Ben Mamash. It's an object, it's a tangible object. That's a human being. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu came. HaKadosh Baruch is quite different. Toein Es Rechuvo. He holds the thing that is upon which he's riding. He holds the object on which he's riding. V'rochev al dovashe in b'mamash. And also he rides on an intangible object. Hadahu dechsev. And that's the pshat in our posuk. Telem, yod ches, yod aleph. V'ayin kaval kuru, v'ayor oath. V'ayedal kamfei ruach. The idea being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding on to the thing on which he's riding. When we ride on a saddle, or you ride on a seat, or you ride on an aeroplane seat, or whatever it is, it's the aeroplane seat that holds you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds it. And that's explained in the Eitz Yosef, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's get this right, yeah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers the kruv to ride. And therefore he is holding the kruv. I'm not convinced I fully understand this medrash, but he's comparing human being, the object holds the human, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds the object on which he's riding. That's one difficult piece of medrash. Not sure if I fully understand it. Here's the next difficult piece of medrash. Kosav echad omer, one posuk says, is how posuk in Tilim, Vayeda al kamfei ruach. That's our pasuk in Tilling. The chosav acher omer, and the other pasuk in Shmuel Beis that we saw, Shmuel Beis, the parallel pasuk says Vayera al kamfei ruach. He appeared. But is it tzadis kamushnik of him? How can we ratify and resolve the two pasukim? Our pasuk says Vayeda, and the other pasuk says Vayera. Amrav acha mekam. From here we see shohayla la kushbochu olomos. Hashem has many worlds. The yotza, and he went out. Lehira Osbohen, to be seen in them. I really don't really understand this medrash. I've learned them a fresh one this medrash. I still find it a bit hard to understand. I'm not quite sure how he gets it. It's somehow a ratification of the two pesukim, Vayeda in Tehillim, Vayera in Shmuel Beis, and it's to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses forces beyond the forces of nature. The Pirush here at the side, called Likutim, explains this medrash along the following lines. Up until Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used natural forces of nature to punish enemies. When it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just completely reversed nature, especially at Kriyas Yam Suf, where the nature of the Yam is not to split, and he split it. Completely beyond the realms of nature, totally unnatural. And he says that is somehow reflected in this medrash. I don't fully understand it, but it was too good not to say it. So that somehow or another Hashem uses way beyond the forces of nature in order to punish Mitzrayim. Okay, let's come to...
It's more obvious, it's supernatural, what he did at when they, in the Mitzrayim,
yeah.
Kriyas Yam Suf, the supernatural element stood out more. Previously.
Yes, definitely, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's come to another piece of Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah in... Where is it? Oh, here we are. Yeah. Medrash Rabbah, yeah, in Bamidbar. This is, yeah. Medrash Rabbah on Bamidbar, and it's on Parashat Noso, it's Parashat Yudalot Os Yud. Now, the Medrash here is explaining a pasuk that we're saying a lot at the moment from Tehillim chapter Kaftalot from pasuk Zion. We've got the words Melech HaKavod, Vayove Melech HaKavod. Yes, Yisham Meshechem, Yenosu Bizchayon, Vayove Melech HaKavod. And then Mize Melech HaKavod, and then it goes on to say Yisham Meshechem, Yisu Bizchayon, Vayove again Melech HaKavod, Mi Huze Melech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvakos Hu Melech HaKavod. You've got the phrase Melech HaKavod, no fewer than five times. So the Medrash here, Medrash Rabbah in Noso, Parashat Yudalot, Osyud, is explaining the phrase Melech HaKavod. What does the phrase Melech HaKavod? Hashem is the King of Honor. What does it mean, Hashem is the Melech of Kavod? It means... The pasuk is saying, who is it? Misa. Who is it? Misa is Hakadosh Baruch Hashem Tzavaka. It's through Melech HaKavod Tzala. But what is the definition of Melech HaKavod? And I prepared this medrash for the shir, and it was so suitable. I said it on Rosh Hashanah as well. Rosh Hashanah, of course, at Ma'ariv, when we say David Mizmar Hashem Oretz Meloa. So says the medrash Rabbah. Listen to this medrash Rabbah. Yeah, here it is. Dovah Acher, V'yovah Melech HaKavod. What's Pshat in V'yovah Melech HaKavod? Omer Rab Ovin, says Rab Ovin, it's the Melech Shehu Cholik Mikavodo Lireov. It's the king, Hashem is the king, who gives honor to those who fear him. So I always thought Melech HaKavod means he's the king of glory. It's not. It's the opposite. It's the king who bestows glory on others. Hashem who bestows kavod on those who fear him. So the Mefarshim on the Medrash explain that a human king might be worried about a mutiny, he might be worried about a revolution, and if he gives too much honour to someone else, who knows, that someone else might suddenly become a big shot and rebel, and then he'll have a mutiny on his hands, he'll have a revolution against him, against the king. So the king is careful not to give out too much kavod to anyone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't worried that someone's going to come along and usurp his position of Melech HaOlam. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only too happy to give out kavod lireov to those who fear him. And we give a few examples. Melech Basav Adam, Ein Roch V'Nal Suso. A human king, you wouldn't dream of riding his horse. Ve'Ein Yesh V'Nal Kisa, you wouldn't sit on his throne. Ve'Ein Mishtam Shem Mishavita, you wouldn't use his scepter. Ve'Ein Lo Shem Levusha, you wouldn't wear his clothes. Aval Ba'at, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einachin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quite different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kesiv, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu it says, Al Pasuk, Vayede Al Kanfei Ruach, he soars on winds of wind. So the wind belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Omer, likewise you have a Pasuk right at the beginning of Sefer Nochum, it's in Perek Aleph Pasuk Gimel, where the Pasuk says, Hashem Erechapayim Gadolkach, Hashem is patient and great in strength, v'nakeh le'inakeh, and then the Pasuk says, Hashem b'sufo uv'sa'ora darko, the way of Hashem is with strong wind and storms. So from our Pasuk, Vayid al-Kanfei Ruach, and from this Pasuk in Nochum, we see that the wind is a keli belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with the wind? Well, we have a pasuk in Melachim Beis, right at the beginning of Melachim Beis, chapter Beis, talking about Eliyahu, when Eliyahu went up to Shamayim. Melachim Beis, Perek Beis, pasuk Yud Aleph, the pasuk says, Vaya'al Eliyahu basa'ora hashamoyim. Eliyahu went up in a storm, up to heaven. So although the strong winds and storm belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, he's prepared to bestow it upon Eliyahu. He shares out his covers with those who fear him. Next example. Melech Basav Adam, Ein Yesh V'Nal Kisa, you wouldn't dream of sitting on the king's throne. Nevertheless, over Shlomo Kisid, concerning Shlomo Melech, there's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim Aleph, chapter Kaf Tes. You wouldn't sit on the king's throne. A layman cannot sit on the king's throne, and yet, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not the case. We have a pasuk in Divrei Yomim Aleph, chapter Kaf Tes, pasuk Kaf Gimel. Let me find it here, where the pasuk says about Shlomo Melech, Vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem. Shlomo sat on the throne of God. Yeah? What does that mean? Some of us on that pasuk say it means he sat with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full agreement. Hashem was totally happy with Shlomo being king over Klal Yisrael. So Hashem lends his name to the throne of Shlomo. But our Medrash here says, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives out his throne, so to speak, to those who fear him. Next. We haven't done the scepter yet. We haven't done that one yet. That's coming soon. First one was about storm. Storm and wind that we see from was Eliyahu HaNavi going up to Shemaim in a storm. The Medrash lists them all first and then goes to each one with a pasuk. Storm to belong to Hashem. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, next one. Nosan Eshavito LeMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his scepter to Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know this? We have a pasuk. It's in Bamidbar chapter Kaf, pasuk Tes. that when Moshe was told to go and speak to the rock and extract water, the pasuk says there, "Vaikach Moshe samatzeh milifnei Hashem." Moshe took the stick from before Hashem. Says the Medrash, that's like Hashem bestowing his with the capital H scepter to Moshe. So he's showing out his covered to those who fear him. Levusho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hod v'hadar. The clothing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hod, which is glory, v'hadar, and beauty. How do we know that? Shneimar. You have a pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim chapter Kuf Dalet. And it's pasuk. A minute, I think it's pasuk Aleph. Yeah, pasuk Aleph. Baruch Hinash Yes Hashem. V'chok HaVarishim Koshor. It's not his pasuk. Sorry. Hashem, Hashem Ma'ud, Hud v'Hadar Lavashtar. You wear as clothing glory and beauty. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory and beauty are his clothes. It's described as Hashem's clothes. On the son of Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Hud and Hadar to Mashiach. Shenema, you have a pasuk in Tehillim, it's chapter Kaf Aleph, pasuk Vav, where the pasuk says about Moshiach, Hod v'Hadar Teshaveh Olav, you bestow glory and beauty upon him, upon Moshiach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives of his own royal appurtenances to those who fit him. So then we have, and the one of the winds is the one learnt from our pasuk. The wind belongs to Hashem, Shenema, Vayed Al Kamfei Ruach. Yeah? So here we see Hashem bestowing all the royal bits and pieces upon those who fear him. Oh. Next piece of Medrash. Here's Medrash from my Sefer. I've written here in my notes, the Red Sefer. The Red Sefer was given to me by Rav Solmesh Greenfeld, where the Medrash, he quotes the Medrash, and I didn't look it up in the source. It's from Avostrab Nosten, Nuscha Aleph Perek Kaf Zayin. Let me read this Medrash to you. Amazing Medrash. Rav Shimon Karcha Omen, Kishabo Paro Layom, when Paro came to the Yamsuf, Bo Al Sus Zachar, he was riding a male horse. Okay? Not surprising, I imagine a male horse has greater strength. V'nigla olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'susya nekeva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Paro, or possibly it means to Paro's horse, as a female horse, a mare. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is diverting and distracting Paro's male horse. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared on a female horse? Shenema, Posikin Shashirim, Perikalef Posik Tes, the Susosi Birchvei Faro. Susosi is my female horse, my mare. Not the Susi, my steed, but the Susosi, my mare. Female horse, Birchvei Faro among the chariots of Paro. What does it mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu distracted Paro's steed by having that steed view a female horse and taking a liking to the female horse, and I presume trying to mate with the female horse. Well, Paro can't exactly ride the male, his horse, while his horse is mating with a female horse, and therefore Paro got thrown off his horse, presumably, or at least, well, we know that Paro survived the Yamsuf, but at least he
we don't know that.
But there are midrashim. The Mishar Ad Echad. Okay, until one.
What?
That Mishnah put the others? What, Hillel seeing a skull? It's a skull of Paro?
It's a skull of Paro. It's a skull of Paro, you said. You drowned many others.
You drowned others, and that's
it.
You drowned others, therefore you drowned, and those who drowned you will in turn drown.
And then the skull had rest, because its lesson, it had taught its lesson for what it was created, and it had rest.
Amazing.
So what does it mean that
Sarah
was drowned?
So Uncle Louis is saying that therefore, to me, Louis is Uncle Louis, to me, to yes. So is saying that the Paro did indeed drown at the Yamsuf. But it's certainly machlokes to Midrashim then.
He was drowned
in the Yamsuf.
It wasn't drowned somewhere else.
Misha Ad Echad, the Misha Berat Echad, there was one, and there are Midrash. So maybe some Achlik is a Midrash, but going to one Midrash, he did survive the Yamsuf. Also,
we read it every day in the evening, and every morning, that he didn't drown. In the passage, when we remember the miracles at the sea after the Shema, before the Shemona Esrei, there's not one extra person.
Adechot. Until one that there was one survivor. Okay, so it looks as Machlokes in Midrashim, but you know there's a Midrash that the king of Ninveh, and we are coming up to him, Kippur, Sefer Yonah, the king of Ninveh, who drove the whole town to do Teshuvah, he led the Teshuvah movement there, was none other than Paro. Paro from Mitzrayim. How that happened when Yonah lived hundreds and hundreds of years later, I don't know.
Very difficult.
I think Rashi says that Paro perished in the sea. I think there's a Rashi on that, yes.
Really?
I think so. I'm reading from the question the Babacha River brings this.
That Paro went beneath the waves, and then Hashem brought him back up again. The children at school are taught that Paro was drowned, and then Hashem brought him back up again, so that he brought him up above the waves again, so that he wasn't nifter.
The less wicked were drowned straight away. The more wicked were brought again, tossed to live again and drown again, and living and drown again.
No, he ended up surviving. Yeah. But he was brought below beneath the waves, but then
what merit did he have to be revived? He was a man of
Russia. So he could see the destruction of his entire army. So he could see merit.
I'm
not recording that. Yeah. You know, I must tell you, when I was teaching in Hasmonean, I put this on record, Steven Spielberg brought out a film about Yetzias Mitzrayim, a cartoon film of it, and the boys in school asked me, should we go and see it? They asked me, and I said to them, I had to speak to them in their language that they would understand, and I said to them, do me one favour, don't see that film. If you've got to go to the cinema, go and watch another film, but don't watch the film of the Makkos in Mitzrayim in Kriyas Yamsuf. You know why I said? Because the film's images are so powerful, it will affect every Seder night you will ever have for the rest of your life. You sit down at the Seder, and instead of understanding the Seder in the light of the Mefarshim and the Midrashim, the image of Steven Spielberg's film, that will be foremost in your mind, and that will destroy every Seder night for life. Yes. So I said to them, go to watch another film. I had to give them a shush to go to the cinema, otherwise they would have gone anyway. I said, if you've got to go watch a film, go watch a film, but don't watch that film.
Your image of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's come back to this.
Spielberg, Jewish and
yeah, Yiddish boy. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. His mother apparently runs a kosher restaurant. Okay. Now the pasuk, so let's leave this as being, it looks like a machlokes in Midrashim whether Paro survived. At any rate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu distracted Paro's steed by appearing to the steed as a mare. And so the steed diverted his attention away from the war and away from Paro and onto the mare. Stallion, thank you. Mel is a stallion, thank you. You see, you had a proper education. I went to Hasbro. Yeah. No, Hasbro, great school. Yeah. So then the Medrash asks on this, how can that be? How can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was riding a female horse, a mare? He was riding a kruv. He was riding on a kruv. When he came to attack Mitzrayim, he was riding on a kruv. Says the Medrash Ella, but indeed he really was riding a cherub, an angel, a kruv. Merely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Paro's stallion see the kruv as a mare, and therefore v'nichnasu kulam layom. That's how they got them all. So they all end up getting into the sea. Good. That's that medrash. Oh. Page 5. Oh. Now, okay, one small thing. I didn't see anyone commenting on this, but I couldn't help wonder whether there's a connection between the word Vayirkav, he rode, where the root is Resh Chof Vase, and the word Keruv, where the root is Kaf Resh Vase. It's the same letters interposed. Interchanged sequence, but it's the same letters of the root. So I was just wondering, he was riding on a Keruv, maybe there's a connection to the Vayirkav and the word Keruv. Rechav is a chariot, sure. Yeah, absolutely, because that's because Resh Chof Vase is to ride.
Well, still on the chariot.
Do you know that for sure, or do you know it? Mishkanaya. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. The Ralbag. Now the Mefarsh, I looked at the Mefarshim on Shmuel base, chapter Kaf base Pasuk Yudalef, which is our parallel Pasuk. It's all recorded. It's not on the web yet. We're very far behind in putting the Shim on the web, but we will get there. I've got them all stored. Says the Ralbag, who's this Kruv whom HaKadosh Baruch is riding? He says it's the Malach whose job is to care for and look after people. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rides the Kruv in order to look after David. In order to look after David. That's how the Ralbag learns it. One interesting thing is that there is another very subtle difference, and I'm not sure the significance of this, a subtle difference between the Targum on our Pasuk in Tehillim and the Targum on the Pasuk in Shmuel base. On our Pasuk in Tehillim, the Targum says, Udavar Bisakof al Gadfei Zavo, which is the translation of Ayede al Kanfei Ruach. He came with strength on the wings of wind. And the Targum's word for Vayedeh is Udavar, which means to come or to lead. It's to lead or to drive, as in to drive, like driving forward. So Udavar. Yet in the Targum on Shmuel base, you've got the Targum there, actually gives it as Vedabar. Is it we got there, Vedabar?
Which one, Yud base?
Yudalef, what's Yudalef?
Vedabar,
which is not quite the same as Udavar. It's not in the Pasuk, it's in the Targum on the Pasuk, yeah? So our Targum translates Vayedeh as Udavar, which is a Kal form, and in the Targum on Shmuel base translates as Vedabar, which is a PL stronger form, actually. It's almost like a stronger form. This root, Dalet Veis Reish, in the Targum is a fascinating root. And I say this, I learnt this from one of my rabbis of Tanakh, Mr. Clive Fairstone, who showed me the Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, chapter 8, Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Now that Pasuk speaks about Shlomo Melech building the Beis HaMikdash, for which he needed wood. And the wood was supplied by Chirom, who was the king of Tsur. Now Tsur is northwest, yes, northwest of Eretz Yisrael. Now what this king did, Chirom, who's a very good terms with Shlomo Melech, is he cut down trees, the wood there up in the north where the wood was growing, and he floated it downstream in the form of logs tied together into rafts. Yeah? And he floated them from the north of Eretz Yisrael, from Tsur, down south, and then Shlomo collected them when they arrived down south, and then transported them to the Beis Hamikdash to Yerushalayim, and he used them in the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So the pasuk there in Melachim Aleph, chapter Hey Pasuk Kaf Gimel says. Here we are. This is Chirom talking. Avodaya reads him in Halavonon, Yoma. My servants will bring down the trees from the Lebanon, Yoma, to the sea. We'll bring them down to the sea. And the sea is the Yom HaGadol, which is west of Eretz Yisrael, which is why the direction for west is called Yom. He's floating them down. Down the Mediterranean, absolutely. But listen to this. Va'ani asimeim, says Chirom, I will make them dovros by Yom, rafts in the sea. Rafts. Says the Mitzvah Tzion on this pasuk, why is a raft called why are these rafts called Dovros? And he says, because Dalet Veis Reish is to lead. And a raft leads the way. It floats. It charts a passage through the water. It charts a passage through the water.
To convey.
Oh, great word. To convey is exactly, thank you, is exactly the meaning of this word. And he quotes a pasuk in at the beginning of Shemos, chapter Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, yes, Vain Hagisato, or Moshe Hoya Roe Eston Yisrochos, no, here we are, that's right, chapter Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Kerim Midyan, that Moshe was the shepherd for Yisro, Vain Hag Es Hatzon, and he led the sheep Achar HaMidbar. It's the introduction to the parasha about the burning bush, about the snare, right? Vain Hag Es Hatzon, he led the sheep Achar HaMidbar behind the desert. Now, on the Targum, on that word, Vain Hag Es Hatzon, is Udavar Yos Onor. He led the sheep. Udavar is to lead. And that's what we have in our pasuk. Vayeda al kanfei roch. It's transport. It's moving. It's conveyance. Although the word is conveyance, it's movement. So vayeda al kanfei roch. He's swooping down on the wings of wind. And in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, vayero al kanfei roch is udvedabar. Vedabar. I don't think so. I don't know. To speak. You're conveying messages. Maybe. But the connection with the rafts is Dovris, so the rafts that lead the way. And I heard this from Clive Fearstone, and when I, of course, I looked at the crossing, there it is in the midst of the sea. It's movement. Yeah. Oh. Now.
This is the rafts convey, so the words convey.
Yeah.
The letters are very similar. The root is very
similar.
To speak might be
connected. Yeah. At any rate, Vayeda is translated by our Targum as Udavar, which is a binyan of the Kal in the Aramaic, and Vayero in Shmuel Beis is translated as Vidaba, which is a PL form. It's actually a stronger form, usually.
Well, so it's like ratio, the only two letters of the Hebrew alphabet you can't recognise from afar, they say. That from afar they look the same, I think I've read this. Dalet and Reish.
This is wonderful what you're saying.
Yeah.
Can you say it again?
The only two letters in the Hebrew alphabet, which from a distance look the same.
Look so similar.
You can't tell the difference.
Right.
Oh. The Reish and Dalet is similar. Yeah.
So what you said just now is the perfect introduction to the next piece.
Yeah.
Oh. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, I arrived in school.
And you know the word Echod? Has a dalet in big at the end.
Yes.
This can be, and also there's a word aches.
And the reish is it. And that dalet.
So the thing is to show it's very easy to get confused between reality like Hashem and, like, God forbid, idols. Ache, el ache, other gods.
Hashem echod, parallel to the
el ache,
el acher, another god.
Very careful.
So you've got aleph ches. Yeah,
don't get confused.
Aleph Ches Dalet in Echod and Aleph Ches Reish in Kisisa Acher. Yeah, something Kisisa. Oh, now when I arrived, so what you said is brilliant because it ties in so beautifully with what I'm about to say. When I arrived in school on Erev Rosh Hashanah to school, I took lots of sperm with me, and Baruch Hashem I did, because I arrived half an hour early and I couldn't get into the school. I didn't have a key on me and I was locked out of school. And then in the car park, I was learning this sugya.
In the car.
And I suddenly realized the following. And then I found it mentioned in brief in the Masad Rav Kook on Tehillim. And that is, well, first, our first quote from the Masad Rav Kook. Masad Rav Kook points out something which I couldn't find. We have the word Dudoim in the Torah. Dudoim is the flower that Reuven cut, which he gave to his mother Leah, and she then gave it away, gave the Zilpah, I think.
To the sister.
Yeah.
She bought it from the
That's how the dudoim. Now, that word dudoim is a type of flower. I've heard it once it's translated as mandrakes.
Mandrakes.
Yeah,
mandrakes.
I don't know what mandrakes are, so I'm not much better off. But the now, the Masorah of Cook says that there's an alternative word for dudoim, and he says a word that I couldn't track down, but I did find it in the Jastrow Dictionary under dudoim, and that's the word duroi, which is almost the same word. The only difference is that that second dalet has swapped into a resh. Duroi. And I looked for this word duroi and I couldn't find it anywhere. But he says it's an alternative word for this type of flower. Okay? So they have a dalet swapping for a resh.
Duroi or
duroi. Duroi, yeah. Now, oh, now, watch this. At the beginning of Bamidbar, chapter Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet, we're introduced to... That's Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet. Oh, to the Nesi'im, the Nesi'im in charge of the men who will be helping Moshe Rabbeinu, I think, with the counting of Klal Yisrael. Le God, who is helping Moshe from the child of God? A man called Eliasaph ben Deuel. Okay, now in chapter Beis Pasuk Yud Dalet. The same man is referred to. We're in Parashat Bamidbar, chapter Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet, and also chapter Beis Pasuk Yud Dalet. Chapter Beis Pasuk Yud Dalet says, Umatei God, the tribe of God, Venosi Livnei God, who is the Nosi, the prince of the tribe of God? Eliasaph ben Reuel, with a resh. It's the same man. At the beginning of Bamidbar is referred to as Eliasaph ben Deuel. In the later on in Bamidbar is referred to as Eliasaph ben Reuel. And if you move on to Parshas Noso, where it speaks about the presence that the Nesi'im brought, in chapter Zion, Pasuk Mem Beis, it says, Vayom Hashishi, on the sixth day, Nosi Livnei God, the prince of the tribe of God, Eliasaph ben Deuel. We go back to Deuel. What's going on here?
Why has it changed?
And the answer is that his father was known by two names. He was sometimes known as Deuel, sometimes known as Reuel, and we're told both. There are other Peshatim as well.
Yisro had a name, Reuel.
Reuel, yes, another name. Another name of Yisro. Yes, yes, another name of Reuel. Yes, Reuel. Yeah. Rashi, beginning of Yisro, yeah. Oh. I saw in the Sefer... what's it called? A liquid on Shotman Potter.
If you say a Reuel instead of a Deuel, we have to stop you, don't you?
Probably.
Yeah, because
it's a different word. Same man, two names, but you've got to get the name right. Absolutely. Now, as soon as the Sefer, I can't remember what it's called now, we've got it here in Shul, Brown Sefer on Chumash. He quotes the Sefer called Moshe Zakenin. He says that because Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in the territory of the tribe of God, and there is a pasuk describing Moshe as a friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Lamed Tes, pasuk Yud Zayin, where the pasuk says, V'li ma yokru reyecho keil, and to me, how dear to me are your friends. Those who are these friends of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two friends in particular, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. They are described as Reyecho, Hashem's friends. Since Moshe was buried in the territory of God, the tribe of God, and since Moshe is described in this pasuk as a friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore the man Deuel is also known as Reuel, because Reuel means friend of God. Reuka Reya is a friend, like Samech to Samech Reim Ha'ahuvim Reim, beloved friends. So Reya is a friend, and since Moshe is described as a friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was buried in the territory of God, therefore the man Deuel was also known as Reuel. Shein Pshat, a nice pshat there. Yeah. At any rate, we see that this man was known by two different names, Deuel and Reuel. So we see that there is a certain interchangeability between the Dalet and the Resh.
He wasn't the tribe of God.
Huh? Oh yes, child of God. Yeah, child of God. The Dalit and the Resh interchange, though. Mm-hmm. Sometimes known that this man had, he was known by two names, Deuel and Reuel. Yeah, you find people who are sometimes known with two names, you know, William and Bill, yeah, to give a really mundane example, right?
What Johnny is saying about the Resh and the Dalit,
Yeah, you've got to be very careful, that's the lesson from this. Yeah, but this is another brilliant example, it's a fantastic example you gave of Acher and Echod, another interchange, but this is between Dalit and Resh. So far we've got, let's count how many we have, we've got your one of Acher and Echod, we've got Dudoim and Duroi, and then we've also got Ru'uel and Du'uel, but here's the most dramatic one. And this is the one that I thought of in the car park. I was so excited to think of this. Baruch Hashem, listen to this. In Parashas Shemini, we're introduced to the kashrus of different animals. And in Parashas Shemini, in chapter Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet, the Pasuk speaks about a type of bird, Ve'es Hado'or. It's one of the forbidden birds. And the bird is called a Do'or. You know what's coming, right? Do'or. It's this bird. In Parashas Re'eh, we're also given the dinim of kashrus on animals, also kashrus on birds. And there, in Parashas Re'eh, chapter Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk says, V'ha-ro'ah. Okay? We have two birds, Do'ah in Shemini, Ro'ah in Re'eh. Says the Gemara in Chulin, and I learnt this quite recently with my Chavrusa Reuven in Kingsbury. Says the Gemara right at the bottom of Chulin Samach Gimel Amad Aleph. Well, listen to this Gemara. The Gemara is going through all the kashas of different birds and going through all the different species. It's a very complicated piece of Gemara, and I've tried to understand it. Amar Abaya, Da'a Zara'a Achashi. The Do'or bird is the same bird as the Ro'or bird. And then he goes on to prove it. Says Rashi at the top of the Amud Beis, Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi explains, why does the Torah give two different names for the same bird? You know why? Because in different areas, in different regions, this bird is known by different names. And in some places it's called a Do'or bird, and in some places it's called a Ro'or bird. So the Torah covers itself fully by giving both names. In Shemini, Do'or. In Re'eh, Ro'or. So we're given both names of the bird, because in some places it's called Do'or and some places it's called Ro'or. So you can see another interchangeability between the Dalet and the Resh. It's the same bird, identical bird. In the Art Scroll on Chulin, he brings a footnote from somewhere to say that it's probably a kite. Bird of prey, kite. Yeah.
You can't eat it.
No, it's a forbidden bird. Yeah. It's one of the forbidden birds. Oh, Do'or and Ro'or. So another interchangeability between the Dalet and the Resh. But what is so amazing is that is exactly the root that we're dealing with here. In our Pasuk in Tehillim, it's got Vayedeh al Kanfei Ruach. And the root of Vayedeh is Dalet Alas Hey, which spells Do'or. That's the bird that swoops. And in Shmuel Beis, it's got Vayero al Kanfei Ruach. And the root of that is Resh Aleph and Hey, and that's the Ro'or bird. And it's the same bird. And that's it for our Pasuk.